this whole thing about Hashem telling the Jews to put blood on the doorposts as a sign. And like we said, it's not that Hashem didn't know who's a Jewish firstborn and who's not, but it's basically Hashem wanted the Jews to have a certain schus. What? Page 352 at the bottom. So now, this pasuk we just started last time, and then we discussed the first half, not the second half. Shivas yomim matzis techelu. 7 days is shiri matzah. If you remember last time we were discussing another pasuk, it says 6 days. No, leave it open. What? You cold? So tell them to be quiet. What do you have to close the door for? Shivas yomim matzis techelu. 7 days is shiri matzis. Ach bayem harishin, but on the first day, tashbisus ha'armi batechem, you have to get rid of all the yeast, all the chametz from your house. Now the Gemara asks the very simple question. As every nice from Jew knows, you don't burn the chametz on the first day of Pesach. You burn the chametz at of Pesach. But the Torah seems to say, ach bayem harishin tashbisus ha'armi batechem. On the first day, destroy the chametz from your house. Which means, just learning the pasuk as it is, it would mean that on the first day of Pesach, on the 15th of Nisan, you destroy the chametz. So the Gemara says that's not what it means. Because, number one, when the Gemara uses the word ach, ach is, the Gemara learns it out from various different achs. Ach means but, ach means cut in half. Which means, ach bayem harishin, midway, before the first day, get rid of the chametz. Which means, at a Pesach, at midday. Or the Gemara learns out from different psukim that here bayem harishin doesn't mean the first day of Pesach, it means the first day before Pesach. But the bottom line of the pasuk is that ach bayem harishin means that when Pesach comes, the chametz has to be completely destroyed. Now, there is, okay. Now, what does it mean? Ach b'yem arishin tashbisus ha'armi b'teichem. And the first day you have to get rid of the chametz. So there's a number of things just to understand the concept of what goes on from the various different psukim of Pesach. You have as follows. The Torah says 7 days, you have to not eat chametz. Okay? 7 days you're not allowed to eat chametz. And outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's 8 days because we have 2 days Yom Tov. But let's speak about the actual biblical law of Pesach, where it is in the laws of an Eretz Yisrael. If somebody eats chametz for 7 days of Pesach, the punishment is karis. That means he died before 60 or 50 years old. It's the same punishment as eating on Yom Kippur. Somebody eats chametz on Pesach for the 7 days, it's the same punishment as eating on Yom Kippur. Yet the Torah says, midway, or like another pasuk says, when you bring the carbon Pesach, leisishchat al chametz dam zivchi, that you're not allowed to shech the carbon Pesach when you have chametz in the house. So biblically, it's forbidden to eat chametz at a Pesach, midday. And let's say you don't change the clock, and let's say for argument's sake, midday is exactly 12 o'clock, because it really depends halachically, you know, what time midday is. Midday is not 12 o'clock, midday is halfway between sunrise and sundown. Okay, whatever that time may be. From Erev Pesach, midday, until nightfall, it's forbidden to eat chametz. Biblically forbidden to eat chametz, but the Torah doesn't say the punishment is karis. You don't get killed for it. It's just a negative commandment that you're eating chametz and you're not allowed to eat chametz. The 7 days of Pesach, then the punishment is karis. The person eats chametz, they would get whipped, lashes.
Karis means you die in age of between 50 and 60?
You died, well, one opinion says before 50, one opinion says before 60. But this was only in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Now, people eat on Yom Kippur, they live long, happy, healthy lives, as Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya. Well, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, in the Geres Teshuva, the Alter Rebbe asks the question, how is it possible that so many people do sins that you get karets, and yet they live long, happy, and healthy the life. And basically, the Altareb explains in a nutshell that when people live from Kedusha, when people live from holiness, like in the time of the temple, people live from Kedusha. So then if you did the Aveda, karis means cut off. So if you do an Aveda that cuts you off, so then you seal the death sentence on yourself, but you had enough life to keep you going until 50 or 60. Nowadays, we don't live from Kedusha anyway. We anyway live from evil. So if we're living from evil, we could do so as long as we want. Okay, one second. So, eating on the 7 days of Pesach, the punishment is kodesh. Eating chametz erev Pesach after midday, it's a negative commandment, you get whipped, but there's no death, there's no kodesh. Now the Chachamim came along and make fences around the Torah, and that's where the Chachamim said that even though biblically it doesn't start until 12 o'clock, until midday, but we're telling you that you have to stop eating 2 hours before midday and not benefiting from chametz an hour before midday.
Technically, it's not even Pesach yet.
Right.
Midday is not Pesach.
Correct. But the Torah says two things. Number one, Ach b'yem arishin tashbisa sa'ar mibateichem. On the first day, this pasuk says, destroy the chametz from your house. And in fact, it's interesting. In the English, it translates on the previous day. If you take it as it is in Hebrew, b'yem arishin means the first day. But they're translating it as the Gemara interprets it, on Teresh Baal Peh, that it means, Bayom Arishim means on the day before the Yom Tov itself. Now, one pasuk says destroy the chametz. Another pasuk says, don't slaughter the Paschal Lamb with chametz in your house. Now, when is the time of slaughtering the Korban Pesach? Erev Pesach, after midday. And the Torah says, don't slaughter the Korban Pesach when you have chametz in your house. So obviously, what is the Torah teaching us? That you're not allowed to have chametz in your house from the time that you're permitted to shech the Korban Pesach. But the Torah says, tashbisu, you have to get rid of. Tashbisu simply means destroy. Now what does this tashbisu mean? How do you destroy the chametz? How do you get rid of the chametz? Here in the English, he uses the word nullified, which is an interesting interpretation, because tashbisu really means destroy. Now, there are different opinions in the Gemara. How do you get rid of chametz? How do you get rid of chametz? Rabbi Yehuda says in the Gemara, the only way you can get rid of chametz is by burning it. There's no other way to get rid of it. You must burn the chametz. The Chachamim hold, no, it's not necessary to burn the chametz. Any way you get rid of it. The Gemara uses the expression, you could throw it up into the wind and the wind will spread it out. You could throw it into the ocean. You can flush it down the toilet. According to the Chachamim, you fulfill the mitzvah of destroying the chametz any way you destroy it. Rabbi Yehuda holds in the Gemara that the only way you can destroy chametz is by burning it. So there are Rishonim, the Paskim like Rabbi Yehuda, but most Paskim, most opinions, say the halachas like the Chachamim, you can get rid of the chametz anyway. The custom is to burn the chametz for a lot of reasons. You know, every Pesach, you go burn the chametz. But technically, anyway, you get rid of the chametz is good. According to many Rishonim, according to many opinions, nullifying the chametz, and that's why he says here in the English, you should nullify the chametz. According to many opinions, nullifying the chametz is also the mitzvah of tashbisu. Why? Because nullifying the chametz means it's not mine anymore. The Torah says, you can't own chametz. So if I do something that gets rid of my ownership, that's also destroying chametz from my house. Because it's not mine anymore. You sell it, you nullify it. When you nullify the chametz, according to many opinions, it's actually a form of doing the mitzvah of tashbisu, you're actually fulfilling the mitzvah of getting rid of the chametz. Now, just to discuss this concept, why is chametz so strict that the Torah says you got to get rid of it, you got to burn it, you can't see it, you can't own it. You, I mean, you know, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat chazer, But the Torah doesn't say, burn the chazer, throw it out, don't own it, don't see it, don't... I mean, why is the Torah so strict about chametz? So we learned that chametz symbolizes the ultimate level of evil. When the Gemara speaks about the Yetzer Hara, the Gemara's nickname in many places in the Gemara of the Yetzer Hara is Se'er Shebi'isa, the yeast which is in the dough. What is Se'er? Se'er actually is yeast. What is Se'er? Yeast makes the dough rise. So rising symbolizes haughtiness, gava. The source of all sin is lack of bittul, lack of nullification to Hashem. So chametz symbolizes all types of evil. So therefore the Torah is so strict about chametz that the Torah says get rid of it, burn it, don't own it, don't see it. That's the deeper meaning. The simple meaning is, why does the Torah say, you know, you have to do bedikas chametz, rabbinically, but you don't have bedikas chazer? There's no mitzvah in the Torah, or even rabbinic, to go search your house for any trace of food. Why isn't there? So Taisa says a very simple thing from the Gemara, basically, that chametz is unique. Why is chametz unique? Because chametz you eat a whole year. So 8 days, 7 days, the Torah says don't eat it. But it's something basically that you're accustomed to 51 weeks of the year. So over there, the Torah has to be stricter, because if you have chametz around, you're going to forget and you're going to eat it. Chazi, you never eat. You're not supposed to ever eat it. So if you don't eat it, you don't eat it. We're not afraid you're going to one day take a chazi and eat it. Because you never eat it. If you never eat it, it's not a problem. So that's why the Torah is so strict about this concept of tashbisa sa'armi bateichem. But it means, again, not on the first day. It means erev Pesach. That's the simple reason. I said, because chametz is symbolized of all evil. Okay, then it says in the pasuk, "Ki kol eichol chametz," because any person that eats chametz, the nechrasa nefesh shehim yisrael, their soul will be cut off. Like we said, you mean you die before you're 50 or 60? Miyem arishin, from the first day ad yem ashvi, through the seventh day. And here, so again, the Torah clearly is stating that the sin of kares is only when you eat chametz during Pesach. Not only that, but the Torah takes it even stricter, that chametz is not, it's not even yours. Torah says, not only are you not allowed to eat chametz, Torah says you can't even benefit from chametz. Which means, the Torah, as Gemara uses the expression, the Torah removes your ownership from chametz and Pesach. Meaning, the definition in halacha of ownership. What does it mean you own something? Not only that you paid it, you paid for it, you got it. What is the definition of ownership? The halachic definition of ownership means it's mine, I could do with it what I want. That's the definition of an owner. If you can do with it whatever you want, you're really not an owner. The Torah on Pesach says it's not yours. The Torah removes the ownership from the person. So the Gemara asks, if the Torah says it's forbidden to benefit from, it's not mine anymore, so why if I own chametz do I get a sin? I don't own it. It's not mine. So the Gemara says an interesting concept. The Gemara says there's two things that are really not yours, but the Torah makes it yours that you're liable for it. One is, if you dig a pit in the street, somebody makes a bar, Bishul Sarabim, that the Torah Parshas Mishpatim says if you dig a pit and somebody falls in, whether the animal falls in, you have to pay damages. So the question is not my pit. It's the middle of Wilshire Boulevard. I don't own the pit. I just dug the pit. So the Torah says, the Gemara says, you're right, it's not yours, but the Torah says, I'm making it yours, that you have to pay damages. And the second thing the Gemara says is Chametz and Pesach. Chametz and Pesach is not yours, because the Torah says you can't benefit from it, meaning you lose ownership of the Chametz and Pesach. But the Torah makes it yours that you get a sin. In other words, it's unique. It's not yours, but the Torah makes it yours that you can get a sin.
But isn't the fact that she's telling you is because you can't touch it?
No. The reason why we sell chametz is because technically we should all we should destroy all the chametz.
Yes, something you couldn't touch it, you couldn't leave it in the hut.
But let me tell you a little secret. After the Torah forbids benefiting from chametz,
yeah,
you can't sell it. Why? Because it's not yours to sell. I can't sell your house.
You benefited from
it. No. If the Torah says after 12 o'clock, or the rabbis make it an hour earlier, yeah? The rabbanon say, you can't, the chametz is not yours anymore. You lost ownership. Torah removed, God is the boss, can do whatever he wants. God removes ownership, your ownership from the object. If it's not mine, how can I sell it? I can't. And the Gemara takes it even further. If a man, let's say, Erev Pesach in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, comes over to a woman with a loaf of bread and says to her, instead of giving her a ring, you have to give her anything that's worth a penny. He comes over, Erev Pesach or on Pesach, it doesn't matter, but even Erev Pesach. He comes over to a woman with a loaf of bread in front of two witnesses and says, "Arei at mekudeshesli, belechem zu kadas Moshe v'Yisrael. You are betrothed to me with this bread." Which are bad, but if you do that during the now, you, that lady needs to get. I mean, else you marry her. No, it's the din is it's a valueless, it's worthless kedushin. It's worthless. Why is it worthless? Because the man has to give something to the lady. Not only his, he has to give something. The fact that the Torah forbids the benefit from it, it's not yours, and you didn't give her anything. The Gemara takes it even a step further. The Torah says, 12 o'clock it's not yours. But 11 o'clock, it is yours. 11, it's yours. But 11 o'clock it's still yours. The Chachamim said, an hour earlier it's not yours. Rabbinically it's not yours. Biblically, 12 o'clock, until 12 it's mine. The Chachamim said, after 11 o'clock it's not yours. So the Gemara says, what happens if at 11:30, 11:30, a man comes over to a woman with a loaf of bread, which biblically it's his. It's valuable. But rabbinically, the Chachamim say, it's not yours. So 11:30, the man walks over to Sigamad and Psachim. A man walks over to a woman with a loaf of bread at 11:30, and he says to her, here's the loaf, Hariyat Mekodesh Asli, Belechem Zu, you know, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, betrothed to me with this loaf of bread. The Gemara says, Ain a Mekodeshes. It's not a good Kedushin. So the commentators ask, what are you talking about? Biblically, it's valuable. Right? That means the Torah, as far as the Torah is concerned, it's an object of value. That means biblically, she's a married woman. And the Chacham will say, no, you're not a married woman. How could that be? So the Gemara says, Kol Mekadesh Adayt, the Rabbanim Mekadesh, whatever. The Chacham will say, Boychik, the rabbi said, this is worthless, you gave her nothing. And therefore it's not a valid kedushin. So the whole concept of chametz on Pesach, we sell the chametz when it's still ours. You can't sell chametz in the afternoon, it's worthless. That's why when the rabbi sells the chametz for everybody, he has to make sure to do it before the time. Then it's still everybody's, it's still theirs, and then he can sell chametz to the guy. So what does he accomplish by it? Because the Torah says, we're going to see later also, the Torah says, you can't own chametz on Pesach. You can't see chametz that belongs to you. But the Torah says, lo yimatzi l'cha, lo yero'e l'cha. That means, you can't see your chametz. You can't own your chametz. But I could see if I walk into a supermarket and there's bread on the shelf, I don't have to go with a blinder. I'm allowed to see somebody else's chametz. It's not mine. If there's chametz that doesn't belong to me, I don't transgress Pesach. So therefore, the chacham says, if I sell chametz to the guy, it's not mine. I sold it to the guy. So that's it. So I'm not transgressing any of the transgressions of only chametz. Yeah?
So in that case, who owns it?
The guy.
No. Let's say even somebody forgot to sell it.
ownerless. Technically, if a guy would go and pick up, a Jew can, because he's not allowed to acquire it anyway, right? But technically, but no, I'll tell you a little secret. If a Jew went and picked up the chametz with the intention of acquiring it, it's his, even though he's getting a sin. But financially, legally, the chametz would be his. The rabbinically, to knas. But that's rabbinic. What?
Somebody faxes over to sell the chametz to Chabad house. And Chabad house faxes it over to the place where everybody's.
Yeah.
It's too late.
So that we have every year. I mean, the problem is, when did the guy fax it? When did he intend to do it? There's a lot of leniencies. Huh?
No, I'm asking if rabbinically, he doesn't own it at midnight.
Not midnight.
Not rabbinically.
Midday. Midday. 12 midday. Erev Pesach midday.
He doesn't own it.
Yeah, but
his intention was to sell it.
But the Torah makes it yours that you sin. So yeah, we try to make conditions with the guy. Okay, but that's not...
It doesn't belong to him, but he has a sin for having.
That's what the Gemara says. It's not yours in turn, makes it yours that you should sin. So what happens if he chaza unintentionally? He chaza unintentionally.
What? Didn't you say the Torah says you don't own it anymore?
After 12 o'clock. Noon.
After midday.
Midday. So then you can't sell it sometimes. Yeah, but because the Torah says it's yours, so chametz that went over Pesach in your ownership, in your legal ownership, the Torah says you can't use forever. Yeah, but you can't just say it's, you have to do hefker, you know, in a way that is taka, not yours. Okay. So now it says in Pasuk Tezayin, Vayem Arishim Mikra Kedish, and the first day is Yom Tif, and the first day is Yom Tif, Vayem Ashvi, and on the seventh day Mikra Kedish, it's also a Yom Tif. What? Yeah. Then you have a big question, was the bittel for real? Did you actually mean the bittel? So then it's a whole problem. Okay. So the Torah said, V'yem
Arishim
Mekakesh.
What? That's it. I go a few days before Pesach from home to another place. I need to sell the chametz.
Yeah. It's still your chametz.
I know that how to do it. I go for 2 weeks before.
So you go to the rabbi and you appoint him as your agent to sell chametz out of Pesach. In other words, you don't sell your chametz to the rabbi. You appoint the rabbi your agent that on Erev Pesach he could sell your chametz. That's what you do. It depends if it's a different time zone. Okay, we're not learning all the dinim of Pesach now. Anyway, she says, and the first day is Yom Tov, and the seventh day is Yom Tov. Kol melacha lo yasa behem, no melacha should be done. Lo yasa lechem, it shouldn't be done. Anything which is made for food, only that is what you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. Meaning as follows. When the Torah says over here, you're not allowed to do work on the first day of Yom Tov and the seventh day of Yom Tov, the Torah doesn't say, lo ya'aseh melacha. The Torah says, kol melacha lo ye'aseh. Meaning even passive. No work should be done for you. Meaning, you can't have somebody else do it for you. The Torah says, Ye'asa means not only are you not allowed to do it, you can't have a guy doing it, you're not allowed to have somebody else doing it for you, it's forbidden. And then the Torah says, and this is a very important pasuk, Acha she'yochol l'chol nefesh. Now halacha gives, the Torah gives, an exception to the rule. And this is the basic fundamental difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos, the Torah says, any work can't be done, whether it's cooking for food or not for food. You can't do it. Then the Gemara says, the Pasuk over here says, by Yom Tov, Acha Sheyochol Chol Nefesh, food which will be eaten by anybody, okay? Hu Levada Yeyosu Lachem, that may be done for you. So the Torah says, anything that you need for food, you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. But there are zillions of details in this halacha. Obviously, we're not going to go through all the dinim. But basically, this only refers to things that couldn't have been done before Yom Tov, for food. Meaning, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, even though you could have cooked before Yom Tov. But as the Gemara says, freshly cooked food tastes better than non-freshly cooked food. So therefore, Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook. But even when you cook on Yom Tov, you can't just open a fire, start a fire. It has to be a pre-existing fire. Right? And all the dinim of what you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, what you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Then the Gemara says that not only did the Torah permit certain things, and certain things that the Chachamim wrote about in the Gemara, not only did the Torah permit for food, the Torah permitted other things, providing there's a need for Yom Tov. Mitech shehutra letzeirach, hutra nami shalei letzeirach. What means as follows. Why can you carry on Yom Tov? We know that Yom Shabbos you don't carry, and Yom Tov you're allowed to carry. Why? Because the Gemara learned out, it's not because food a lot of times have to be carried. So you might need to carry food to be able to eat and enjoy Yom Tov. So because the Torah forbids carrying for the sake of food, the Torah permits carrying even not for the sake of food, providing there's a need for Yom Tov. You can't just carry on Yom Tov, whatever you want. It has to be for a Yom Tov need. But now this Pasuk teaches us a very interesting halacha. And to explain this, because a lot of people ask a question by Pesach, are you allowed to have a goy at the Seder? A question that comes up very, very often, are you allowed to have a goy at the Seder?
You don't want to be there insulted
every time. No, it's okay. Sometimes lie that they're more participating than the people that are supposed to be there. Now, the question is, why do they think, why do they ask the question only Pesach? Because they're scholars. And they know by the Korban Pesach, it says, "Kol ora le'yechel bay." If you're not circumcised, you can't be part of the Korban Pesach. So people think that the same thing applies. You can't have the Seder because he's not circumcised and he's a goy. A goy can't come to the Seder. That is ignorance. That's ignorance. It has nothing to do with any of this stuff. The problem with a goy coming to the Seder is not a problem of the Seder. It's a problem on any Yom Tov. You're not allowed to invite a goy for a meal. On Shabbos, you're allowed to invite a goy. If the first Seder is Friday night, you can have 100 goyim at your Seder. On Shabbos, there's no problem inviting a goy. There's nothing to do with the Seder. There's a din on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cook for a goy. Where do we learn this out from? Because the Pasuk says over here, Acha Sheyochol Lachol Nefesh, Hu Levada Yeyosu Lachem. Lachem. This could be done, the Torah could have said, Hu Levada Yeyosu. This could have been done, stop. The Torah adds the word Lachem, so the Gemara says, Lachem V'loy L'goyim, Lachem V'loy L'klovim. Meaning, you can't cook on that if you own animals. Let's say a guy owns a dog, a cat, a cow, a horse, whatever. You can't cook for an animal on Yom Tov. Because the Torah says, Lachem, you're only allowed to cook for you, for yourself, meaning for Jews. You can't cook for non-Jews, you can't cook for animals. One minute. This is what the Torah is teaching us over here. So Halacha says, you can't cook for a goy on Yom Tov. So now the question, therefore you can't invite a goy, because we're afraid it's another mouth to feed, so you're going to add more food on Yom Tov to cook. So somebody will say, okay, but all my food is already pre-cooked, and I'm not cooking anything on Yom Tov. It doesn't matter. Because the Torah doesn't differentiate. The Torah says you can't invite a guy to come. If a guy pops up, or pops in, you can feed him. You can't invite a guy, because then you're going to cook for him. But if you're eating and a guy pops in, so then we're not afraid. The halacha is, you're not afraid that you're going to be cooking for him. So therefore, I'll tell you a classic, the real American issue, which is, you're so brilliant. No, because everybody knows that today with the intermarriage rate, they have, in America, 60% intermarriage, and people have friends, and some people have relatives that are nishtein gedacht, for no, it shouldn't happen to any Jew, are intermarried. So now the question is, you want to invite a lot of people, Bali Tshuva, have brothers that marry your sisters, a married guy. So now you want to invite them to come to the Seder. You know, after all, it's a family get-together, the parents are coming. So now the question is, can you invite the shiksa? Can you invite the guy? So you can't invite the shiksa. You can't. You can invite the man. Let's say he's married to... You can invite him. She comes along, but you're not inviting her. You're inviting... You just have to watch the language, how you tell them that they shouldn't get too angry. You tell them, you know, oh, you can come. Can I bring my shiksa? So you say, you come any way you want.
What about the children?
What?
They come from a shiksa.
If they come, they come.
They come, they come.
Any way you want.
You can't send them a printed invitation. Oh. No, but this is what we, this is the pasuk. This is the source of this whole din. In effect, if I'm not mistaken, oh, Rashi says, Yachol alfil goyim, hu levadi yosu lachem. Lachem, v'loi legoyim. Rashi quotes it, and even a behemoth you can't. No, 1 minute. Rashi says, lachol nefesh, even a behemoth, I think Shechunach says, okay, whatever. No, there's no difference.
So what do
we
do for the animals?
Rashi says, you lachol nefesh, afil a behemoth, but 1 second, I don't know if in halacha it's like that. No, I'm saying if you're allowed to cook. Rashi says even animals you could cook for. But I'd have to double check in Shachnorach, I think. Okay, whatever. Okay, so that's what he's saying over here. But this is the source, by the way. This is the part that teaches you're allowed to cook on Yom Tif. But there are a lot of conditions in the cooking of Yom Tif. You're not allowed to cook extra. You can only cook what you need for that day. You can't cook one day for the next day. You know, all the restrictions of Yom Tov and anything that could have been done out of Yom Tov, you can't do on Yom Tov if it wouldn't change the taste. Technically, a woman could bake challah on Yom Tov. Not on Pesach, but on Yom Tov, she could bake challah. Why? Because fresh challah is better than a day-old challah.
So, she could bake a matzah on Pesach.
Yeah, no, that's a big problem. Because right. Okay. Pasuk Yud-Zayin. Yeah, but a lot, most of the Gemara says most foods taste better that day.
If a Jew have a girlfriend,
no,
not a wife, is a sheep.
No, no difference.
So
he can sell
to her the chametz.
He can sell her the chametz.
He can bring her?
No. I mean, again,
she's there. He's
if he invites the boy and she comes, but he can't invite her. Okay, next pasuk is also an interesting concept that the Gemara learns out. It says, Shmartim es ha-matzis. Simply means you have to guard the matzis, that the matzis shouldn't become chametz stick. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. But the Gemara learns out, if the Torah doesn't have vowels, there's no nekudas in Chumash. So if you look at the pasuk, you could read it, Ushmartem es ha-mitzvahs. You have to guard the mitzvahs. Now, what does guarding the matzah mean? You have to guard the matzah that it shouldn't come, the dough shouldn't become chametz. Because once the flour and water mix, and it's not in the oven within 18 minutes, it becomes chametz. It rises and it becomes chametz. So basically, the Torah is saying, if the guard the matzah, that it shouldn't become chametz, it means you should get into the oven as soon as possible. So now that the Gemara says, it also reads, Ushmartem is hamitzvahs. You have to guard the mitzvahs. That mitzvah shouldn't become chametzdik. So, the Gemara says, Rashi quotes it, what does it mean? It shouldn't become chametzdik? Mitzvah, the Gemara's expression is, mitzvah haba liyadcha al tachmitzeno. A mitzvah that comes to your hand, do it right away. Because by not doing it right away, you're letting it rise. You're letting it become chametz. What is chametz? You delay it. You don't bake it right away. So the Gemara says, a mitzvah comes to your hand, don't delay. Do the mitzvah right away.
While we are on the subject of having non-Jews over for Pesach, once they're in your house, so they can participate in all the...
Yeah, they can eat matzah.
No, but all the little things, like they do the washing hand, everything.
I mean, you can't make a bracha with them. You can't make a bracha with them. If it's mevushel, it's not a problem. If it's mevushel, it's not a problem. If it's not mevushel, you have a big problem. Not necessarily. It's not the same as a guy. Okay, so he says the shmartim is a matzis, you have to guard the matzis. Why? Because in the essence of this day, Hashem says, I took out your hosts, meaning I took out all the people from Mitzrayim. You have to keep this day forever. For all your generations, chukas elam, for an everlasting mitzvah. Meaning, don't think that you only have to keep Pesach your one-time deal. You have to keep Pesach for all future generations. Why? So, like we say, every day a Jew goes out of Egypt. A Jew goes out of Egypt. In fact, in Parshas Maaseh, at the end of Bamidbar, it says over there, these are the journeys that the Jews left Egypt. So the Mefarshim will ask, the journey to leave Egypt was one journey. Why does it say the journeys of leaving Egypt? So the Baal Shem Tov explained that a Jew is constantly traveling out of Egypt. From the time they're born until they die, they're constantly going out of Egypt. Until they come to Israel, which refers, when they pass away, they go to Gan Eden. But the Jews are constantly, so the concept of Pesach is basically on a daily, hourly, minute concept of keeping it. So the Torah says you have to guard matzahs, you have to guard the matzahs, the mitzvahs, and so on. So he says as follows, Barishin on the first day, by Basa Yem Lachedish Barev, and the 14th of Nisan in the evening, meaning the night of the Seder, Techlu matzahs, you have to eat matzahs. Ad, until when? Through the 21st day. That's only in Israel, where Pesach is 7 days. Obviously, we have 8 days Pesach, so it's through the 22nd day of Pesach, of Nisan. And the Torah says, Shivas Yamim for 7 days, Se'er le'yimotzi b'vateichem, chametz should not be found in your house. Why? Ki kol eichel machmetzes, whoever eats anything of chametz, and machmetzes, meaning, not only, but any mixture of chametz. Huh? Machmetz, the Chazal learn, also means machmetz is any mixture of chametz. Because chametz and Pesach is never nullified. And in fact, the Gemara learns, the Mefarshim explained this, that they liken chametz to Aveda Zara. Because we said chametz is the source of all evil, haughtiness, ga'avah. And Avodah Zarah is also, you forget about God, meaning you're not bottled to Hashem, you're not nullified to Hashem, you think yourself as something great. So just like Avodah Zarah, the Mefarshim explain, what is the reason that Chametz never becomes nullified on Pesach? We know meat and milk, 1 in 60 becomes nullified. Treif and kosher, 1 in 60 becomes nullified. Why Chametz on Pesach, 1 in a million doesn't become nullified? Why is that? Okay, the Torah says so, but why? So the Mefarshim liken it that chametz is similar to idols. And that's why by idols we understand the severity of it. That idol worshipping is so severe that even if there's one Indian here, no, even if there's one thing of Avodah Zarah in a million barrels of non-Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to use it. Chametz, which is equal to Avodah Zarah because it's the source of all evil, that's the reason, he explained, the reason why the Torah forbids any drop of chametz. But it's interesting, because according to Halacha, chametz doesn't become batel only on Pesach. Before Pesach, it does become nullified. But sometimes chametz reawakens itself on Pesach. That means, one second, that means something that before Pesach was bottled sometimes becomes unbottled when it comes Pesach. And that is if it's solid rather than liquid. Liquid, if it's nullified before Pesach, 1 in 60, remains nullified. It doesn't, what's called nalacha cheze v'niyur, it doesn't reawaken itself. But dried substances that became bottled before Pesach, 1 in 60, when it comes Pesach, it reawakens itself and it becomes non-nullified, unnullified. Right. So before Pesach, it's bottled 1 in 60. When Pesach comes, you can't eat it all. Tomer chametz. Yeah. If it's solid, not the chametz. Chametz is chametz. Chametz is chametz, whatever it is.
Is this the reason that people dissolve sugar?
That's the reason why they dissolve sugar. Okay, let's finish up over. Shivas yamim seder matzvotei. Okay. Ki chol ha'echo chametz tovit chametz v'nichras ha'nefesh imedas Yisrael. Their nefesh will be kind of like you said before, we'll get kares. Bager uvezrach oretz. In the ger, in the convert, or the ezrach oretz, or the citizen. So the Mefarshim ask an interesting thing. Why should a ger not be allowed to have chametz? He wasn't in Egypt. His parents weren't in Egypt. Right? A Roman guy converts. His parents were never in Egypt. His parents were in Rome during the time of Pesach, whatever. Nevertheless, the Torah says, even though you weren't, your forefathers weren't there, but Bager of Ezrach Ha'aretz, if you're a Jew, you have to celebrate Pesach the same way like a Jew, because this is your obligation to live exactly the way like a Jew lives. And you have to celebrate it because your forefathers were also there, even though I would think that they weren't there, but the Torah says, yes, they were there. And then the Torah says, and this is really where you learn it out from, Kol Machmetzos Leisichelu, any mixture of chametz you can't eat, any leavening, meaning even if it's mixed, B'chol Meshviseichem, in all your dwelling places, Teichlu Matzah, you have to eat matzah. That means Taruvas chametz is also asr, mixtures of chametz, not only chametz itself, but mixtures of chametz is asr, and that's why a lot of foods that we know are real chametz on Pesach, even though it's only a mixture of chametz. I'll give you an example. Beer is made from barley. But there's also other things. There's water in it. There's other things. But it's a mixture of chametz, and therefore it's real chametz. Yeah, whatever. I mean, a lot of cases like that. So this is what the Torah says. Any machmetz leisichelu, anywhere b'chomesh v'seichem, you're not allowed to eat it in any of your dwelling places. Meaning, not only in Eretz Yisrael, I would think maybe Pesach only applies in Israel. So the Torah says, B'chomesh v'seichem, any place where a Jew exists, in all generations, all these laws exist. Because there's a reason to think, and this is why the Torah has to emphasize here more than in other mitzvahs, the Torah, a person could think, listen, that generation, I understood, they built the baked matzahs, and so over there, you know, they have to do it. But, you know, everybody who says you have to be so strict, the Torah says, B'chomesh v'seichem, doesn't matter. You can't do it. Okay?